God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today, we're sort of making a transition from the time of Christmas to the time of Epiphany. And I will admit, our gospel reading for today may perplex us. We have Jesus being 12 years old and distressing his mom and dad because he stayed at the temple while they were returning home. And it was just maybe thinking, boy, kids grow up kind of quickly, don't they? It was just a couple weeks ago we were celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And in the next couple weeks, we'll be celebrating his baptism at age 30. I will admit we don't know much about the time between our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's birth, and when he begins his public ministry at his baptism, but this is one of those few texts. And it does help us make this transition from the season of Christmas to the season of Epiphany. And a common theme for this transition is that of giving. In the Christmas season, we have God giving of his Son for all of humanity, especially to fulfill his promise to Adam and Eve, to Abraham and his descendants. That little baby born in Bethlehem is true man and true God, whom the shepherds were, as they were told by the angels, came and worshipped, bowed down, and then told the world about him. Well, at least the Jewish world. It was the coming of the wise men, the Magi, which brings about our Epiphany season. Please note that the wise men or the Magi did not necessarily come the same day that the shepherds did. They first actually went up to Herod and said, "Where is this child?" This was part of last week's message, in which Herod then directed them, after consulting with the religious leaders, to Bethlehem. Then they arrived at Bethlehem. But Herod said to the wise men, "Come back and tell me where when you find the Christ child, so that I too may worship him." Herod had no intention of worshiping Christ, because after he found out that the wise men returned home by a different route, Herod then ordered the destruction of all the little baby boys, 2 years of age and younger, in that region. During this dramatic event, however, God called Joseph and Mary to flee into Egypt. You'll hear more about that next week. But for today, as we're making this transition, I'm picking up a little bit of that Epiphany theme. Epiphany is when you have Christ reaching out to all the nations, realizing that the wise men were not Jewish, but they were following the star to where the Christ child is. So Epiphany is very much celebrated with this theme of light, the star lighting the way for the wise men to find the baby Jesus. Today we pick up on that concept of light, as we have a little bit of an astronomy lesson of sorts, not necessarily dealing with suns, a little bit, but mostly with the moon. So today's message is entitled Moonlight. And the reason why I want to use the concept of moon for this transition here is that the moon provides a wonderful opportunity. The moon is, in one essence, a lifeless rock orbiting our Earth. It gives no energy of itself, it has no light of its own, and strangely enough, when it is full in the night sky, it seems to create chaos here on Earth, as some people react differently to a full moon, and does have some other influences upon the Earth, like our tides. The reason why I want to sort of use this as a parallel here for this concept of Epiphany is that our own life is much like this moon. In one essence, without the sun radiating upon it, we also have no energy, no life apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me pick up a couple of Bible passages to sort of make this point. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And a little bit later on in that same chapter, he says, "For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. We do have to realize that Christ is the light of the world. Without his light, we are dead. Now, very often we don't like talk like this. Why? Our sinful human nature wants to think of ourselves as thinking, you know, I'm kind of important. I'm kind of special. We do like to think of ourselves, and pardon the pun, as being the center of the universe. Well, we need to quickly realize, and that's why our text for today is based upon the prophet Isaiah. Keeping my Isaiah theme throughout Advent and Christmas, we pick up the traditional text for the Old Testament reading for Epiphany, Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 5, which says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to you to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." I'll end our text at this point. Isaiah here is trying to teach us a special message. We are not the center of the universe. We have no energy and light by ourselves. We do nothing more than what the moon does. Reflect the light of Christ. So what happens during this time of Christmas into Epiphany? We have the infant Jesus born in Bethlehem, who we know is true man and true God. God brings this light into the darkness of our world filled with sin. He is without sin, and by nature we have sin, and this world is in sin. The Bible describes this as darkness. So this baby Jesus comes into this dark world of ours to do what? To illuminate it. He shines the brightness of his holiness upon us. And so God gives us his light, so to speak. And like the moon, the response should be that we also reflect his light. But I will admit, our human nature steps in and causes something to happen. And maybe a better way of describing it is to do a little bit of a comparison between the moon and what's called a black hole. A black hole in outer space is some sort of object that is very huge and has a great gravity well, that anything that gets caught in its gravity just gets consumed toward the center. And the reason why it's sort of called a black hole is because even light cannot escape its gravity well. So light that passes by a black hole is then consumed. Very often this fits in very well with our human nature and my analogy for today. We have to realize that God is the creator of all things. He is the one who has created our life. He is the one who has blessed our life with many blessings. He gives all, and sort of like the sun radiating its energy. But if we are like black holes, what do? We just sort of suck in that energy. We think it's all for me. Today, our text from Isaiah and the other scriptural themes is trying to get us to change. To change from being that black hole that thinks it's the center of the universe, that think all of this is just for me, that I'm the most important thing, to realizing that we are dead, we are lifeless without Christ. And then we better reflect Christ's love. And how does this happen? How do we make this change from a black hole to a moon to reflect God's glory? Well, I will admit, it doesn't come from within us. It has to come from outside of us. So we gather here today to receive that light, that energy, that love, that forgiveness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. We got to remember it is God who comes to earth, that little baby born in Bethlehem. It is God, as 1 John reminds us, who loves us first, so that we in turn may love other people. Again, picking up that reflective theology of God's grace. So we gather here today to receive God's grace, his love, His mercy, His forgiveness, to do a change into our lives, to do this change from the black hole to the moon. Because what benefit does the moon give us? At night, when there are no clouds in the sky, and if we're not suffering from light pollution, the moon provides a special glow that helps illuminate our lives when we're in our darkness. So also does Christ does with each and every one of us. He illuminates our lives with love, forgiveness, and His mercy, but for a particular purpose. Because now as we move into the season of Epiphany, we move into a theme of God reaching out to all the world, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people, because God created all people and He loves all people. And how does God do this? By taking people like you and like me, showering us with His mercy, His grace, His light, so to speak, and changing us so that we also will reflect that grace, that mercy, and that light to those around us. So the kind of the question to have you ask of yourselves for today as we slowly move into this season change from Christmas into Epiphany is both are summarized with the giving. Christmas, God gives of Himself, and Epiphany, God gives again to all the world, but this time bouncing that off of you and me. So the question we ask ourselves is, how does God reflect His love from me to other people? And again, that is a change of heart. God first continues to shower us with His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and then we in turn also reflect His love. We have an opportunity every time we go somewhere, we interact with any person, we have an opportunity to share His love, His forgiveness, His mercy. And every time we do share that love, forgiveness, and mercy, we are reflecting His love, His grace, His mercy. But I will admit, because I am a sinner too, my life does not always reflect God's love, grace, and mercy. There are sometimes I act like that great giant black hole that says, okay, what's in it for me? And I want to have that selfish feeling. I like that selfish feeling because it means that I'm sort of at the control. I'm at the center of the universe. However, Isaiah is calling us to do something different. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Reminds me and should remind you that the light isn't in it for me. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God for a particular purpose. Isaiah even brings up that purpose. That the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Again, the idea that other people will benefit from God's blessing us with His love and His forgiveness. This is how God works through His Holy Spirit to touch other people throughout this world, as He uses people like you and me to proclaim His love, to announce to the world His salvation. Because when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does grow up, and after His baptism He has 3 years of teaching, of healing, and doing miracles, He eventually finds Himself on the cross. And when He goes to that cross, He dies. He dies for the forgiveness of our sins. He dies so that He can change us from black holes into reflective moons. He dies for all people, not just for a select few, but all people throughout all time, throughout history and the future of humanity, have salvation through Christ's atoning work upon the cross. They have the forgiveness of sins. They have that love and they have that forgiveness. But how does that love and forgiveness reach them? God, through His Holy Spirit, gives it upon you so you in turn may reflect His glory. So this day, as we make this transition from celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, celebrating God's gift for the world, for you and me, we do so by realizing where this gift is coming from and where this gift is going. Scripture calls it light in one essence, to remind us that special relationship, that the sun gives its light to us who are lifeless moons, so that we in turn may shine that light to a world that's still in need, still in darkness, still in need of the radiating glory of the risen Christ. So this day we celebrate that God does give his light for the world. And we ask the Lord to continue to soften our hearts so that we may not be very good black holes, so to speak, but understanding the concept of the moon that reflects the glory of Christ in our world around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.